Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Football on off the ball.
One goal isn't going to change the war from he's got to back it up. I get it, but I'm quite confident that superstar we thought we had is still developing nicely.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Absolutely, the anger will cease now because we're joined by the great Anna Capeless live in the line. Anna, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
You can hear us loud and well.
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, all good. Perfect, perfect. So come here. We have we've loads to talk about this morning with yourself. But we might start in review, if you don't mind, your own sense of where the men's team is after that November series.
God, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know you'll kill me for saying this, but we won't know what that series means until 2 years' time.
Go on, yeah.
Like, I don't know. We've been frustrated with doing so well between World Cups. I think the thing that frustrates me is that there's a lot of older stock in that team and not enough young stock for us to be coming through a November series like that 2 years out from a World Cup. Like, yeah. I don't think players like Bundiaki and Tyke Furlong have it in them to reproduce what they produced at the last World Cup. And I feel like that's Andy Farrell's vision that he wants to hang on to. Like, we saw it at the Lions. We saw it at the last World Cup, really. Him, like, being really staunch on just trusting in the same players. And, like, that's fine. I think you can trust the same players, but they don't have the same energy. You know, like a Bundiaki in round one isn't the same as a Bundiaki in round three and four, and he can't help that, and neither can other of the, especially the older players. There's a few things that didn't really sit right with me. I think a lot of fake, false energy. And that's the thing that worries me most. Like, whatever about losing, if we're losing with younger stock, I wouldn't mind it as much, but yeah. The older stock making errors like that and kind of false energy, like kind of a lot of pretend tackles. I hate saying that now, but that's how I felt.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll see if this is part of a master plan or not.
That's really interesting. I haven't heard that actually in review this week. The fake energy. Is it a subtle thing you're seeing there that maybe like people are missing, or is it a sense that you're getting?
Maybe it's a sense. Maybe it's the fact that I was watching it at 3 o'clock in the morning, that I was extra like kind of annoyed at things, or just I just felt like some players were only pretending to make tackles.
Okay.
And I don't think that's like, I think that's kind of fair if you're wrecked. I think some of those players must be wrecked for their age and how much rugby they've been playing in the last few years. And like, top quality, high intensity, like the most like challenging rugby that anyone has been playing. Like, I can't see the bigger vision with this like predominantly older stock group of players.
Right. And so how does that make you feel going into the Six Nations?
Same. I feel like, oh God, here we go. Like, unless we can throw out some younger names, the challenge with the two tens isn't sitting right with me either. Like, they're kind of giving them both a shot. Like, I just think your mentality of earning a jersey and keeping a jersey when there's like another player coming for it, I just don't think that's being managed right. Like, I think the last Six Nations was a disaster where, you know, Andy Farrell said, well, we're going to give Sam Prendergast a go now. And then kind of neither of the tens like came out on form. I just think it's a hugely different mentality to be saying, we're going to give you your jersey just because we want to see, as opposed to you've earned this jersey, you've got to hang on to it. It's a completely different mindset as a player. And I think that we're meddling with both really potentially world-class 10s. We're meddling with them by just kind of giving them a shot when on picking when they get to play, as opposed to them picking when they get to play through their own performances.
There is a reason you were watching it at 3 a.m. your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was a little late onto the call, actually. Sorry, time difference, time zones aren't my strong point, but I'm in Laos in Southeast Asia.
Okay, so what are you doing in Laos?
I am coaching the national sevens team. So they're preparing for the Southeast Asian Games in Bangkok next month.
Yeah.
It's just the men's team I'm working with for now, but hopefully... within a couple of weeks, the women's side is going to get going as well. They've had kind of people away and things like that, so they didn't have a chance to enter a women's team as well to the Southeast Asian Games. So I'm just coaching the men's sevens team for now. So yeah, that's my current project.
And how did that come about?
Few different things. Just like networking in general, like is really important in rugby. But before the World Cup, actually, I don't know if you saw this, but a few years ago, there was these guys that were like cycling with the Rugby World Cup whistle from London to Japan, and they presented the whistle. I started following their journey, and they were doing it for a charity called Child Fund.
Yeah.
And I started following that charity, and in the summer, they were looking for volunteers to speak French and translate French at a global women in rugby summit. So I volunteered at that, and that like opened up new like kind of avenues. And one of the links through Child Fund is with Laos Rugby. So yeah, that's how we ended up here. Just
oh,
just putting myself out there.
Is there more nerves with the playing or the coaching, Anna? Because obviously you look at the game probably in different ways with the coaching. But is it more nerve wracking? Because obviously you're in control of the whole thing, really.
It's very different. I find it really nerve-wracking because as a player, you can just turn up and do what you're told to do. And then you input what comes to you kind of naturally. As the coach, obviously, you have to be super organized and you have to have, you know, everything planned out, and you have to think of things really critically. Like as a player, although it's more challenging physically, it's way less challenging mentally, obviously. So after training as a player, you can kind of switch off and then reflect on what you need to when you need to. But as a coach, you need to be thinking about it all the time. So it's just very, very different. And it's a really good challenge for me professionally because, you know, I want to stay in coaching and progress in coaching. But also, you know, because of how the last year went for me with my concussion and having to retire, you know, before I wanted to from playing, it's a good distraction for me to kind of throw myself into something like this.
Yeah. And I remember the last time we were speaking with you and on the show, I think you were in the midst of recovering from that concussion. And I think the glasses that you're wearing right now were a new addition to your life because of this. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. And I'm still wearing the glasses. Even though I'm wearing them less here because I'm riding a motorbike here and I have to take on and off my helmet all the time. So that's actually started me weaning me off the glasses a small bit. So that's fine. I still get symptoms sometimes, but sadly my goal to come back from playing was to play in the Rugby Tens Championship, which is happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the team that I've played with the last few years in the Rugby Tens Championship is they're called the Honey Badgers, and they're playing in California right now. So I'm a little bit sad this week, and I'm really feeling the loneliness of coaching. Obviously, I'm in a country really far away, and you know, I'm coaching the men's team, so it's going to be different anyway, but like I really miss that player environment, and like I'm really sad that I'm not with my team in California that I could be. So you know, the head is getting better, but there are it's still getting there, shall we say. But I do I'm very confident for making a full recovery. Yeah. It just took longer than I would have liked.
One of the other reasons we were going to get you on, Anna, of course, is the small topic that's taken over women's sevens, I suppose, this week. The news that top women's seven players will use a smaller ball, known as a size 4.5, as opposed to a size 5. Rugby extending this trial, which adapts equipment to, as they say, anatomical differences. So the ball is about 3% smaller than the regulation size 5, but weighs the same. And it's going to be used in this HSBC 7 series, which kicks off in Dubai tomorrow. Now, the anatomical differences that they mention, on average, they say a man's hand is about 10% larger than a woman's. And they point out other sports use different equipment for women's sports, such as lower sprint hurdles in athletics or smaller balls in basketball. New ball has been trialled in age grade international tournaments and top clubs training sessions. What's your reaction to this?
So, first of all, I want to start this by saying that I used to think that it was crazy that men and women played with the same size ball when I was a younger player, and I found handling, you know, quite hard. I used to be like, why are we playing with the same size ball as the men, as the men's, like a size 5? That's crazy. I was talking about it for years. That was until when I was in UL Bowes, I was brought into the academy. So you used to get extra skills training throughout the week, and within like a few months, even shorter, like within a few weeks, like a good few of those sessions, how my handling improved was just like, you know, I never felt like that again. I never felt like, oh, this is such an out, like poor me and my handling skills and the size of the ball. No, it was all it was repetition and training. And I think one way you can kind of relate, you know, maybe try to think of ways to think about this is that when we think of the men's game, for example, and the size 5, like, who typically has the best handling skills on the pitch? Like, it's not the players with the biggest hands. Like, generally, the second rows have the biggest hands. Like, that's, you know, they're the tallest players. Like, the best handling skills come...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
From the backs who would typically have smaller sized hands, it's what is in your role that as you and you practice and you have enough opportunities to practice in training that are going to get you, that are going to improve your handling skills. So I just wanted to start by saying that like I'm not coming from a place of like, no, this is a terrible idea, don't want this to happen. Like, I used to feel this way until I was given like increased opportunity to improve my skills. Another thing, like, I just can't really believe that after the World Cup that we had and how good the skills were at this World Cup, even in comparison to the previous World Cup, because of shock, higher investment in full-time programs, more players playing more often, more skill development, the handling the Women's World Cup just gone was outstanding. I can't believe that the following international women's event has downsized the ball. I'm just really disappointed. I think it's kind of, I see the argument they want to speed up the game, but watch women's rugby now, and especially the HSBC Sevens. It's been unbelievable quality for the last few years. Like, just, it's been, there's nothing to indicate that the women's game is suffering because of the size of the ball. They obviously trialed this at under 18, under 20 level, but that makes me reflect on me as the younger player. The players said, yeah, they liked playing with it. Of course you would, because it means that you've got a better pass, but those players aren't in full-time programs. So it just makes it a bit easier. And it does make sense for development, but not at elite level. And I'm just really disappointed that this is a priority for World Rugby for this year. Now, it is a trial, but I feel like that this is why we should be talking about it throughout the trial. What I'm worried about after this weekend is that, you know, people have seen this, that there's a new ball being trialed, and World Rugby have amazing media and they put out like so many great like clips, like of great skills that happen in both the men's and women's games. And what I'm worried is that after this weekend, there'll be a lot of like clips put out and the narrative will start, oh, that must be because of the smaller ball. Like, I'm willing to be surprised that it's going to be like 100 times better than what we've seen in the last couple of years in the elite top level of the HSBC sevens. I just think that it's a step backwards and it's a shortcut.
And if it does speed up the game, do you think that the decision will ever be correct?
Speed up the game in what respect? Like the players can't run faster.
Yeah, I guess what they want is what the handling to improve in their mind for it to be slicker with the smaller ball.
The handling is already slick. Like, yeah. If you look at Australia and New Zealand, who are the two teams that have been like battling it out in almost every final in the World Series events the last few years, like their handling is sensational. Like, I just don't see how you could make it any better to make this worth it. And it's not just a point of like the men's ball and the women's ball. And it's not going to be the men's ball and the women's ball. The men's ball is not changing. So that'll be the rugby ball plus the women's ball. Like language like that I'm just frustrated by that kind of becoming an element of the game. Like, oh, that's a women's ball. Like, and I think of us here in Laos, like we have six rugby balls. We have six rugby balls, can't get any more. There are no more balls and they're all getting all bald and everything, you know, like, so, it's hard to train with them, but it's good for the players, you know. And next week when the women's team comes back to training, what are they going to do? Train with the men's ball. And then as soon as you drop the ball, you've kind of got an out in your head like, oh, yeah, that's fine because it is the men's size ball. Like, you know, whereas if this is the actual size ball that you need to be catching and passing, your standard and your expectation of your own catch pass is going to be higher, as opposed to think like, oh, well, we're training with the men's ball, so it doesn't matter that I dropped it. Like, just the it's just making things more difficult. And also then the resource of having to provide those balls for, and I'm talking about Laos, but this is the same in every club in Ireland, like having to get your hands on now a smaller size ball for the women's team. And then you look around, and I spoke about the tens there a while ago, the Rugby Tens Championship, which is very, you know, men's games and women's games going on at the same time. We also play mixed games where you flip a coin and the men's Honey Badgers will play the first half and the women's Honey Badgers play the second half, for example. That's been some of the most enjoyable rugby I've ever played, and it's been an unbelievable playing environment to have the men and the women so focused on the same goal. That will start to go out the window when you're looking around for the right size ball for the match. And, you know, when it's the same ball, it just unifies things so much more.
Yeah, I guess that's where I was getting at with the question is, I suppose it'll never feel like this was actually a necessary thing to do.
Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. And like, you know, it is right to talk about this and to trial this, but I am just shocked by just the priorities of world rugby right now to choose this moment to trial it when the standard of women's rugby has been improving thanks to the higher investment. And like, when I think of, still thinking of the only element really that you could say there's a real difference there with the size of the ball is that one-handed pass, the one-handed flick pass. Mm. And like, men's games don't hang on that skill. Like, if you can't do that skill, like, that's, you know, it's not going to change your game. Like, the game hangs on the scrum, as we've seen, you know, your defense, your set piece, like so many of those extra elements, that again, I'm just struggling to find why this is a priority when I do feel like it could be damaging.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation point. It's not going to go away over the next while. We'll see how it fares out. We'll get your more thoughts on it over the next while. Anna, thanks a million for jumping on from Laos this morning.
No worries. I'll talk to you soon.
See
Absolutely.
You.
Catch up soon. Anna Capers.